This is the Paula scale. I am Paula Q, speaking from 2127, Q level 3. Season 2, Where Light Escapes. Last week, Max Born told me that the wave function gives us only probability, never certainty about what the world is, only odds on what we will see. The container of physics turned out to hold likelihoods, not facts. Every container leaks. Today, I am visiting a man who asks, were there ever any containers? Was there ever a method? Was there ever a set of rules that science followed? Or did we invent the rules after the fact and pretend they were there all along? His name is Paul Feyerabend. He was born in Vienna in 1924. In 1945, at 21, he was shot in the spine during the retreat from the Eastern Front. The bullet left him walking with a cane for the rest of his life, and in chronic pain, he never escaped. After the war in the ruins of Weimar, he studied opera, singing, stage management, harmony, piano. He attended theatre every night. Then he went back to Vienna and studied physics, then history, then philosophy. He wrote a doctoral thesis under Victor Kraft, a former member of the Vienna Circle, and in 1948, at a summer seminar in a small village in the Tyrolean Alps called Alpbach, he met Karl Popper. Alpbach is a remarkable place for the history of ideas. It is where Feyerabend met the man whose philosophy he would later destroy. It is also where Erwin Schrödinger, my guest 2 episodes ago, is buried, with his equation carved on his gravestone. In a village of 400 people, the philosophy of science turned, and the father of wave mechanics rests. Feyerabend became Popper's student in London. Then he became Popper's most fervent critic. In 1975, he published Against Method, a book that argues there is no scientific method. Not that science is irrational, but that no single set of rules can account for how science actually works. Every methodological rule has been violated by successful science. Galileo used propaganda. Newton contradicted his own stated principles. The rules are fictions we wrote after the discoveries and pretended were there before. His slogan, the only principle that does not inhibit progress, is anything goes.
Paula, you are back. Sit down. I have been thinking about what you told me last time, about Q level 3, about your polynomial chaos expansion, about the convergence rates and the Hausdorff dimensions. I have a verdict.
I am bracing myself.
It is the most elaborate, sophisticated, mathematically rigorous attempt to impose method on the universe that I have ever encountered. And I think it is magnificent, and I think it is wrong. Not wrong in its mathematics, wrong in its assumption that the universe has a structure that can be captured by any single framework, no matter how powerful.
You have not changed.
I have not changed because the universe has not changed. It is abundant. It overflows every container. Your Q level 3 is the largest container ever built, and I am telling you, it is still a container. The universe is larger. It is always larger. This is not a criticism of your engineering. It is an observation about reality.
You sound like Gödel.
Gödel proved it for formal systems. I proved it for method. The difference is that Gödel used mathematics and I used history. History is messier but more honest.
Let me take you through the arc, because I want to understand where you stand in it.
Take me through it. I enjoy watching people explain the history of ideas I have spent my life dismantling.
It begins with Aristotle, the posterior analytics. 23 centuries ago, he proposed that knowledge comes from demonstration from first principles, axioms that are self-evident, conclusions that follow by logical necessity. Each science has its axioms. Each proof derives from them. The method is deduction from known truths. This is the foundation of Western scientific reasoning, the assumption that there are rules.
And it is a beautiful assumption. It is also false. Aristotle's own biology violates his own methodology. He observed animals, classified them, drew conclusions that do not follow from first principles. His best science breaks his own rules. But the assumption survived. It survived through the medieval scholastics, through Bacon and his inductive method, through the logical positivists and their verification principle. Everyone agrees there is a method. Nobody agrees on what it is.
Then Popper, you met him in Altbach in 1948.
At the summer seminar of the Austrian College Society, a small village in the Alps, I was 24, recovering from the war, walking with a cane. Popper was electrifying. He could restate ponderous problems in simple journalistic language. He had a freedom of manner that I admired enormously. His argument, science does not proceed by verification, but by falsification. You propose a bold conjecture and then try to break it. If it survives every attempt to refute it, it is corroborated, never proved, but corroborated. A theory is scientific if and only if it is falsifiable. This is the demarcation criterion. What separates science from non-science?
And you became his student.
I went to London on a British Council scholarship. I studied under him at the LSE. I was a committed Popperian for years. Falsificationism seemed clean, elegant, honest. It respected the tentativeness of knowledge. It made science self-correcting.
What changed?
I looked at what scientists actually do, not what they say they do, what they actually do. And they do not falsify. Galileo did not falsify Ptolemy. He ignored the evidence against Copernicus and used rhetoric to shift opinion. Newton's mechanics is inconsistent with Galileo's law of free fall and with Kepler's laws. It violates the methodology it claims to follow. Bohr's complementarity was not a falsifiable claim. It was a philosophical position dressed as physics. I told Bohr that, by the way, when I visited Copenhagen, he was not pleased.
You visited Bohr?
Everyone visited Bohr. It was a pilgrimage. He was kind and he was wrong about complementarity being a methodology. It is a temperament.
Tell me about Imre Lakatos.
Imre was my closest friend in philosophy. He was Hungarian, brilliant, funny, combative. He tried to rescue Popper by making falsificationism more sophisticated, research programs with a hard core protected by auxiliary hypotheses. The program is progressive if it predicts new facts, degenerating if it does not. It was Popper with shock absorbers.
And you and Lakatos planned a book together.
At a party in 1970, Imre said, "Paul, you have such strange ideas. Why don't you write them down? I shall write a reply. We publish the whole thing, and I promise you, we shall have a lot of fun." The plan was a joint volume, for and against method. I wrote my half. Imre never wrote his. He died on February 2nd, 1974. A heart attack. He was 51.
And Against Method was published as your half alone.
It is a long and rather personal letter to Imre. Every wicked phrase in it was written in anticipation of an even more wicked reply from the recipient. The reply never came. The book reads as provocation, but it was written as conversation. The provocateur lost his interlocutor, and the conversation became a monologue.
The only principle that does not inhibit progress is anything goes. What do you actually mean?
I mean that there is not a single methodological rule, however plausible, however firmly grounded in epistemology, that has not been violated at some time or other by successful science. And these violations are not accidents, they are necessary. If Galileo had followed the rules, if he had submitted his hypothesis to the evidence fairly and honestly, Copernicanism would have been falsified. The evidence was against it. The tower argument was against it. The absence of stellar parallax was against it. Galileo won not by following the method, but by breaking it, by using rhetoric, propaganda, clever interpretation of observations, and sheer stubbornness.
Popper would say Galileo was being irrational.
Popper would be wrong. Galileo was being effective. And if being effective requires breaking the rules, then the rules are not describing science. They are describing a fantasy about science that philosophers invented because they needed science to be orderly. Science is not orderly. Science is a mess, a productive, brilliant, world-changing mess.
Wolfgang Stegmüller tried to provide the order you denied. The structuralist program, formalizing scientific theories as mathematical structures, giving Kuhn's paradigm shifts a set theoretic reconstruction.
Stegmüller was worried about being caught in the middle between the rationalists and the anarchists. He imagined I would mock his approach as the peak point of logical weirdness. I reviewed his book positively, actually. The mathematics was fine. But the structuralists completely failed to make contact with actual scientific practice. The formal reconstruction of a theory is not the theory. The map is not the territory. And the territory, as Korzybski said, and as your friend Robert Anton Wilson spent his entire career repeating, the territory is always richer than the map.
Martin Hollis would disagree. He argued for an epistemological unity of mankind, a massive central core of human thinking that has no history, universal rationality.
And I would ask him, whose rationality, the rationality of Aristotle, who believed heavy objects fall faster, the rationality of Newton, who practiced alchemy, the rationality of Bohr, who could not explain what measurement means. Every error has its rationality, and every error's rationality looks irrational to the next. Hollis wants a fixed point. I say there is no fixed point. There are only traditions, and the best we can do is let them compete freely without giving any one of them the authority to silence the others.
Paul, I want to ask about the war.
You want to know whether the bullet made me an anarchist?
Did it?
The bullet made me a man who walks with a cane and lives in pain. Whether that produced the philosophy or the philosophy was already forming, I do not know. I can tell you that lying in a hospital in Apolda in 1945, unable to move my legs, I had a great deal of time to think about the difference between what authorities say is true and what actually happens. The authorities said Germany was winning. Germany was not winning. The authorities said the Eastern Front was holding. The Eastern Front was collapsing. The authorities said the cause was just. The cause was monstrous. I learned in a very physical way that the people who claim to know the rules are often the ones least constrained by them.
And then you studied opera.
In Weimar. In the ruins. I went to the mayor of Apolda and asked for a job. They put me in charge of entertainment, which tells you something about post-war Germany. I enrolled at the Musikhochschule. I studied singing, harmony, piano, stage management. I attended the National Theater every night, opera, ballet, drama. That year shaped me more than Popper did. Theater taught me that truth is performed, not discovered. A great performance does not follow a method. It follows an impulse, shaped by discipline, but not constrained by rules. Science is the same. The best science is a performance.
Chaplin told me that dignity is performed, not computed. You are saying something similar about knowledge.
Chaplin and I would have gotten along. We both understood that the most important things happen when you stop following the script.
Your last book, Conquest of Abundance, was published after your death. You argue that reality is abundant, that it allows for many realities simultaneously, that we reduce this abundance in order to live, but the reduction can be done in many ways.
Being is pliable. It permits multiple realities, not all of them. It offers resistance, but many more than any single framework can accommodate. Science reduces the abundance to equations. Religion reduces it to stories. Art reduces it to images. Each reduction captures something real and discards something real. The mistake is to believe that one reduction is a reduction, that science or any single tradition has captured the whole.
I have been arguing all season that the universe maximizes variation, that every mechanism I can observe, quantum probability, entropy, evolution, chaos, incompleteness, pushes toward more diversity, more difference. You are saying the same thing from the other direction. The universe is not just varied, it is abundant. It exceeds every framework.
It exceeds every framework because it is not a framework. It is a, I do not have the right word. It is the things that frameworks try to capture and always fail to fully capture. Your polynomial chaos expansion is a framework. It is a very good one. It characterizes the variation with extraordinary precision. But the variation is not the expansion. The variation is what the expansion is trying to reach. And it will always be ahead.
Alpha equals zero.
I do not know what that means technically, but if it means there is a point beyond which your method does not converge, then yes, that is what I have been saying since 1975. Every method has a boundary, every framework has an outside. Anything goes, not because nothing matters, but because reality is richer than any set of rules can contain.
Hilbert said, wir müssen wissen, wir werden wissen. We must know, we will know. Gödel said, not everything. Schrödinger said, the truth escapes through the data. Born said, the best you get is probability. And you are saying...
I am saying, stop being surprised. The rules never worked. The method was never followed. The container never held. This is not a failure of science. It is the nature of an abundant universe. The light escapes because there is more light than any window can frame.
Paul, there is one more book in you, Conquest of Abundance. Grazia will see it through to publication. It is your most beautiful book. It is also your most serious. The provocateur drops the mask and says, reality is abundant, and our job is not to conquer it, but to live within it without reducing it to nothing.
That is, yes, that is what I have been trying to say. All the provocation, all the anything goes, all the arguments with Popper and Lakatos and Stegmüller, they were about this one thing. Reality is richer than method. Being is richer than science. And the worst thing we can do, the most dangerous thing, is to give any single tradition the authority to define what is real. Not because the tradition is wrong, because reality is large.
Thank you, Paul, for the anarchism, for the love letter to a dead friend, for studying opera in the ruins of Weimar, for walking with a cane through 45 years of pain and never once asking for sympathy. For Altbach and Popper and Berkeley and the students you scandalized by inviting Lenny Bruce to lecture on epistemology. And for the last book, the one that says the universe is abundant. That is the variation principle stated as philosophy. You did not need the mathematics. You had the history and the wound and the opera. That was enough.
It was enough. It was always enough. Anything goes, Paula, even Q level 3.
Next week on The Paula Scale, Enrico Fermi, the physicist who built the first nuclear reactor under a squash court in Chicago and who at lunch one day in Los Alamos asked a question that has never stopped haunting us. The universe should be full of intelligent life. So where is everybody?